Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Before we get started today, I just wanted to say a big thank you for the warm welcome back. We've missed you and we've missed podcasting. To be honest, I think that only became really apparent to me when we came back last week, and I just realised how much I enjoy sharing these conversations with you. And today is extra exciting because I have been itching to share this next conversation. It's the first interview in the Redefining Success series, and my guest is Atlanta-based artist Christina Kwon. Christina is well known for her abstract and floral works on paper, as well as her large-scale murals. She's recently reached the point where art is her main career. In this episode, she talks about the winding road to become an artist, wanting to give up many times, and how her view of success has changed since becoming a mother. This is a conversation about losing and finding yourself again and again. It's about acceptance and letting go, or as Christina says in the interview, it's about something and nothing. You'll have to tune in to find out more, so let's get straight into it. Hi, Christina. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so looking forward to chatting with you today.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to talking too. I mean, I'm not used to talking to an adult. I usually just talk to a baby all day long. So it'll be a welcome change.
Well, what I wanted to do was go back, but I don't want to go back too far because there's so much that we can cover. This is one of the biggest challenges with these interviews. So I thought for this conversation, we'll start off with, when did you know that you wanted to pursue a creative career?
This is such a difficult question to answer because I honestly cannot remember a time when I didn't know that I wanted to pursue a creative career. I always loved being creative. I don't even know how or why I was drawn to art, but even my earliest memories were in elementary school. In the US, we have blocks or activity periods where we go to do art, PE, physical education, or whatnot. And I just remember every single time I went to art class, I felt alive. In elementary school is my favorite thing to do. I was that kid that always had artwork up in the hallways, and I actually had this contest in my school to draw the yearbook cover. And it was always like the fifth grader that won the drawing contest was the one whose drawing gets to be on the yearbook. So when I was finally in fifth grade, like, it was my turn for my drawing to get there. And it did get there. And I got to sign my name and everything. So my fifth grade signature was on everybody's yearbook in elementary school. And I begged my mom to go to a middle school of the arts. And then in eighth grade, I begged my mom to go to a high school of the arts. And then in college, when I was forced to go to a college I didn't want to go to, I said, you know what? I am going to major in painting. Yeah, I guess I just always knew I wanted it. I just didn't always know that it was possible or how I was going to get there. And that, I think I'm still figuring out along the way. I'm just figuring it out as I go, as we all are. I hope that kind of answers your question, maybe.
It does. And it's very interesting because you had such a clear vision that you wanted to be creative and make art from such a young age. And I don't actually hear that often when I'm having these interviews. Many of the people that I talk to change paths, whereas it seems like with you, you always had that idea.
Yeah, it was always the path that I wanted. It was just never the path that my parents wanted or that I thought was possible. So I just always wanted it.
That's interesting that you say it wasn't the path that your parents wanted, and it wasn't the path that you necessarily thought was possible. So it sounds like there were some barriers there that you had to work through. Did your parents want you to pursue a different kind of career?
I mean, I'm half Chinese, half Vietnamese, and like most Asian American parents, they wanted their children to be in a very steady, stable career to achieve the American dream, what they came here for. And so they wanted me to be a doctor, and they wanted my brother to be a lawyer, because they felt, given our personalities, that those were the right jobs for us. Like, how could you know with a small child? I don't know. But that was their goal, is that he would be a lawyer and I would be a doctor. And my brother is a lawyer and I'm an artist. It was definitely challenging my entire life, but it's better now, obviously, because now they accept me for who I am.
So you did go on to study at college art. You did a BFA in drawing. So you didn't become a doctor. You pursued what you wanted to pursue. Did you have a clear idea where you would go from there once you had finished your degree?
Nope, still had no idea how that was going to work. And at that point, my parents actually still thought, well, you could always go to med school, even with an art degree. Unfortunately, I actually graduated from undergrad with a Bachelor of Fine Art in 2010. So it was not a really good market for me not a good job market for me to enter into. And also, I think at the time, a lot of art schools, especially the one I was at, University of Florida, they weren't necessarily equipped to prepare art students with what they were going to do next, unless it was going to get your master's. So in my head, I was like, okay, well, I'll apply to get a master's of fine art, and I'll apply to the best schools there are, so that if I get in, then it's worth going. But if I don't get in, then I'm not going to spend the money. So I didn't get into any of the schools that I applied to, because I applied to the top schools in everything. And then I was just trying to figure out what to do or where to live even. I knew I wanted to get out of Florida at that point. And I guess just the closest city to Florida, big city, was Atlanta. And so I decided to move to Atlanta. And I got a job as a gallery associate, an art gallery associate, because that was the closest thing to being in a creative career that I could find at that moment.
So how did you feel at that time when you came out of studying what you wanted to do, but you didn't necessarily know how to apply it or what kind of direction to take with it, and you still had your parents saying, it's not too late, you can still become a doctor or something like that? What were you feeling in the midst of that time?
That's a really good question. I'm trying to put myself in my 23-year-old mindset and remember what it was like when I first moved to Atlanta and I had the job as gallery associate. The goal was just to make ends meet and to have a job and to prove to my parents that I could land on my own two feet. And so for the first, I would say, year and a half that I lived in Atlanta and worked at that gallery, that's all I did. I didn't make art. I didn't do anything creative at all. And I was just doing my best to be a good gallery associate. I can't remember the exact dates, but maybe 2 years after I started, I kept getting promoted because, I mean, it was a small staff and people were leaving. So within a very short time, I was the gallery director. This is me being a very young woman at the head of a contemporary gallery in Atlanta that was selling major contemporary works by mid-career artists. So I would say each work, you know, was ranging from $10,000 to $50,000. And I was 24 years old. And I was the director of this gallery, coordinating shipments from all over the world and dealing with clients that were millionaires and, you know, just like what you imagine, you know, Gagosian or whatever, is like, it was very close to that, or so we wanted it to be. And I don't know that there was a moment, but after a while, I just asked myself, what are you doing? Like, what is this? This is not what you wanted to do. You haven't made any work since you were in college. What? You know, I was surrounded by great artwork, but I wasn't making anything, and it just killed me slowly, softly. So then I said, you know what? I need to quit. I need to quit this because I'm throwing every part of myself into promoting and working for other artists, and that leaves me with nothing for myself. And I was still young, so I said, you know, I have time to figure it out. And I thought maybe if I stepped into a career that was a little bit more creative and less sales and administration, then I would have the room to find my creativity again, I guess. I'm trying to remember all the things that I did. In my head at the time, the next logical step, I guess, for 24-year-old me, maybe I was 25, I can't remember, was event design. And then I also worked at a cake bakery. And eventually I also nannied again for more freedom. So I was just trying to figure out how does this work? How do I find time to even get into a sketchbook and figure out what does the artist version of myself look like, and how do I get back to her? I think I've lost my way on your question.
No,
because you said, how do you feel? And then I just kept going.
No. Everything you said is perfect. Absolutely perfect. When did you start to carve out time to make art?
So I'm trying to remember, because there are different iterations of the work that I create. So I was making artwork, but it didn't necessarily look related to what people know me for.
Well, that's interesting in itself. So let's talk a bit about that.
So when I was doing, you know, I was still trying to find jobs and find some sort of work practice again, I thought, well, to become an artist, I have to make things that are easily sellable. So they need to be pretty. So I guess, I don't know. I'm trying to remember what my thinking was. But I think, yeah, I was just, maybe my end goal was, okay, well, I'm going to create products, because if I can create artwork that translates to products, then I can sell things and make money. So I started making just very more like patterned floral work and less abstract. And it wasn't really necessarily anything that was very deep or conceptual or meaningful to me. It was just a means to get my hands moving and make the muscles work again.
So when did you feel like that art wasn't necessarily what you wanted to say to the world? So you said it wasn't overly meaningful for you at that time, but you were thinking about it, what would be saleable, which is completely understandable, because at the end of the day, you want to create a career and make a living, and it can be difficult to do that. And you've got to find that sweet spot where you are still serving your artistic soul, but you can make a living from it. And that's a really tricky thing to navigate as an artist.
When I started selling things, I also started writing a blog at the same time to sort of journal as I was making work, so I could remember the journey. And the blog was also kind of a way for me to get my name out there and have a reason to connect with people randomly, as in email people for interviews or go up to strangers at festivals and ask them about what they do and if they would want to be featured on my blog. And I also worked in retail, so I did some style stuff. So at the same time, I was making art to print and sell at festivals or events. And then I was also blogging and figuring out an internet presence and a presence in the Atlanta community. The work that I made into art prints, the time that it took to make the work and then scan the work and then turn that work into art prints and put them what's the right word to say this? I'm not explaining this correctly. All the upfront costs of trying to have these products to sell at indie craft fairs and things like that was sucking up my wages. And then it was also, I just didn't feel like the return was there for it. And then by the time that I actually got to the point of selling them in person, I no longer was connected to the piece I made, because I had made it, I don't know, probably a year prior. And I just realized that's not the way I wanted to create, because I wanted to constantly be making and shifting and growing and evolving. And so the end game of art prints just wasn't working out for me, because it was just too long to wait. And then I also just couldn't figure out how to scale it in a profitable way. And I still had full-time jobs at this point. So I was doing all this at night or on the weekends. And I just knew that wasn't sustainable for my life. And it wasn't sustainable. It wasn't a way to continue being creative. But I don't know when, I don't know if there was a specific point, but it was probably a couple of years after I was doing those in-person events and festivals. I just got tired. I got so tired.
So what happened then when you started to feel that tiredness and frustration?
I said, you know what? There's a lot of people making original artwork and making a living off of it. So why can't I? I mean, that makes it sound very simple, but every time I wanted to quit, I just couldn't. You know, I got so close so many times. And by that point, I was in a relationship with my now husband, but at the time it was just my boyfriend. And he said that, you know, he really knew that I could do it. He knew it. And he was, I mean, other people had said that to me before, but his support was really, it really was probably the thing that helped me get through it to where I am now. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Yeah, I know you mentioned, I'm not sure where, it might have been on your Instagram or it might have been on your blog. I did have a little bit of a look through various things of yours because I got totally hooked finding out more about your story.
Oh, God.
But I don't know if that makes you feel funny now, but I do always go down like a rabbit hole. But you've written some incredible posts and on Instagram and in your blog, like really deep thoughts that I resonated with. And you did say, you know, that it's been a winding road and so many times that you wanted to give up for good, but you could never shake the desire to create. And from reading about you, you had various different jobs, as you mentioned before, retail, nannying, all sorts of different things, but you hung in there. When did things start to shift and you found a style, or maybe found a style is not probably the right phrase, but you moved into something that you felt good about?
I would say within the last... Okay, it's 2021 right now. Sometimes I forget what year it is. So probably the last 3 or 4 years has really been, and maybe more, even more so in the last year, I've been getting closer to what I really want. I'm closer to the person that I envisioned myself being. You know, I mean, I went to college for art, and some of the work that I made while I was getting my BFA is still some of the most amazing work. And I was just, I didn't know how to find that again, because it was such a bubble being in, you know, in college and having certain professors and ways of thinking. And also you're looking at other artists all the time and everything is about your work, your studio. I had a studio at that time, you know, in college. And I could spend all night long in the studio and I could make these amazing pieces. And I just didn't know how to find that in real life, in real time, when you have to make a living. Yeah, it's only been in the last few years that I feel like I've gotten back that sense of self as an artist. And I don't know what it is. I guess maybe it's just like I finally have accepted the marks that I make. And the less I care about needing to sell things, the more I sell. because it's just so much more genuine and authentic to me. And also, I can't say that social media has been such a huge part of it, and being vulnerable and open. Like you said, that you've read so many of my posts. I don't remember things that I've written or said on my stories, but I know so many people like feel like they know me through my accounts or my blog. And that's why I write them, because I just want to put myself out there and let people know like the things that I go through. And because I also don't want to forget, so that someday in the future, or me or my son or whoever could go back, and it's almost like a time capsule. Again, I've lost the question.
I love it the way you lose the question, because you go off in these beautiful. But it's beautiful.
I don't know if it's like my mom brain, or it's like I just haven't talked about my artwork in so long. I'm just like word vomiting it all out.
I was really touched when I was watching your, I think you call them mum diaries on Instagram, on your Instagram stories. And you talked about feelings that aren't often spoken about. And we're going to dive into this a little bit more as we move through this interview and talk about becoming a mother and how that impacted you. But before we do that, I think it's hard because there's so many directions that we could go in, but I do want to just touch a little bit on, you said you got comfortable with your marks. One of the things that I noticed when I was watching your little videos of you painting and seeing you also do the beautiful murals that you do was that there was this just intuitive movement in the way that you paint. And you said that you hadn't really planned a mural. And I was just like, how do you even do that? Like, not have a plan when you're painting on large walls. And it just looked so natural, and like there was this flow. I just wanted you to talk a little bit about finding that style of art and getting comfortable with those moves and marks.
I guess the way that I create work is a lot like a dancer. And it's funny because I actually did a fair amount of dancing in college. I was in a dance organization. But the way you just described the way I paint, is the reason that it feels that way is because it truly is that way. What I mean to say is that I've accepted my marks, so I've fully embody that I just need to let go and go for it. And something inhabits me, or not, it's like something and nothing at the same time. Or it's like the only time that I'm fully present in just what I'm doing and not thinking about 100 different things or worrying about 100 different things. And like I said, it took a long time to get there, but at some point I realized that when I make artwork, that's the time when this is not the time to think. This is the time to do. So I just do it. And it just comes out better without a plan. I don't know. I don't know why. It is. When the work I made in college, it was very charged with my adolescent emotions still. So a lot of my work was about my feelings, about my family, and about just like the fragility of human relationships. So I was trying to find imagery that really conveyed that. So I was using a lot of things. I was using flowers. I was using household items. I was trying to figure out symbols, but eventually when you break some of those items down, they're just shapes. And over the course of the last, 10 years since college, it just became a mark. And that's what I like to make. I just like to make marks and evoke a feeling rather than finding a thing. I'll never forget. Actually, I've always wanted to write a blog post on it, but I always feel like
I wouldn't be able to effectively write it. So one of my drawing professors, well, let me back up a little bit. The reason why I switched from painting to drawing when I was in college is because the drawing department at University of Florida, the time that I was there, was very much open and conceptual. And it was headed by two women that influenced me a lot, Lauren Garber Lake and Julia Morris Rowe. And their idea of drawing was that, like, drawing is the basis of everything, all art. And so all art is drawing. You can draw with your body. You can draw with tools. You can draw with anything. So that's why I chose to be in, that's why I chose to be a drawing major. So where was I going with this? Oh, okay. So Lauren Lake, one of my professors, she had a class where I think it actually, the title of the class or the name of the class was experimental drawing. And one of the assignments was to create paintings using non-traditional tools. So we had to find something to make a mark that wasn't a paintbrush, wasn't anything like that, or like a pencil or anything that you would think to make. And the thing that I chose to make the marks was a toy wind-up bird. So I would dip the bird's feet in like ink. I would wind it up and I would place it on a piece of paper and I would just let it go. And so it would just kind of like, I don't know what the right verb is for it. I want to say Twitter, but then I'm just thinking about Twitter. But it would just like move around the paper, creating this like frenetic little trail of its feet behind it. And I just kept dipping it in ink and winding it up and putting it on the paper over and over and over again until it just looked like kind of a mess of marks. But that kind of like, I think, became the basis for all the little marks that I make now. Because I just saw something so, well, eventually the little wind-up bird also had died as I was making the work. So some of the drawings got even more interesting as it was dying. And I just thought, okay, this is like really more poetic and beautiful than I could have imagined, that this like little toy wind-up bird is making my paintings and then it's dying and then its mark is being left on the pieces of paper. So there's that. And then also, like I said, I used to use floral imagery a lot. And I love when there's a point in spring in different places in the US where all the flowers fall from the tree, or all the flower petals fall from the trees. And it's just like a mess of flower petals on the ground. And I've always really been drawn to that time and that imagery, and looking down at your feet and seeing all the beautiful things laying there. So that also influences my mark. And again, here I am. I lost the question.
You haven't. You know what it is? It's like you're letting go as you talk, just like the way that you let go when you paint.
Yeah, you're right.
How did you begin to carve out a career from this new style of art that you had developed?
It was little by little. It literally felt like carving wood. Like, it started with, you know, just a part-time, always doing it on the side as the thing that I hoped that would become my main thing. But it took a lot of time for it to actually become my main thing. I mean, really, I kept at least one other job up until I had the baby last year. And then after I had the baby, I was like, okay, I'm going to let go of this one last thing. Because just the nature of my personality, I always did enjoy doing those other things because they fueled and informed my creative practice as well. Like I said, I worked in retail. I worked at Anthropology for 4 years as a manager. And while I wasn't doing anything visual, well, I was doing some visuals, but mainly I was managing people. That still gave me life too, you know, because I guess, I mean, we're all multifaceted people. I don't like just being in the studio making work. I like connecting with people. I like doing all the things that I was doing. I like dressing up. I like eating food. So I was also doing social media photography for a lot of food things and restaurants and outsourcing my photography too. That was another freelance thing that I was doing. So it literally like started as just like whenever I could, I would work on my creative career to slowly getting it to be the main thing. And I would just slice off more and more of the whatever was my traditional means of making money until now, when my means of making money is making artwork. So it was definitely nothing overnight. I've been working at it forever. And I think it's just like word of mouth. You know, the more people have your art and are big fans of you, the more they tell other people, and it's just grown. It feels good. It feels good right now.
So now that you have reached a place where you can call being an artist your main career, and well done, because I know it's been a long time in the making, what are the different parts of your art business? So how do you make a living from your art?
So I sell original works on paper. I paint murals, as you said, mostly private murals lately because of the pandemic, which was unexpected, but actually became an integral part of my business over the last year. I license out work to art consultants for reproductions, for hospitality, things like that. Sorry, if you saw my face, you'd see me thinking.
It's your thinking face.
Yeah. My thinking face. That's pretty much, that covers it. That covers it. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but there's different versions of things within those things. Like selling originals means selling works on paper, selling works on canvas, etc. Licensing also, it's working with a bunch of different companies, and the murals is a whole other beast. I mean, being a muralist is really a career unto itself, and I just folded it into my art career. Yeah, so I think that covers everything, but I'm also still momming right now pretty hard, so I would say I'm a full-time mom, part-time artist, not necessarily full-time artist.
So let's chat about motherhood, since you brought us into that so well with your answer to that question. Natural segue. I wanted to read something out. Again, I'm not quite sure where I got this from, but it might have been your Instagram, or it could have been from your blog. I've spent my entire life working towards becoming the artist I wanted to be, but now I also have to focus on becoming the mum I know I could be. Eventually, I'll learn how to effectively merge the two. But for now, I'm trying to give myself a break and take things gradually as they come. Do you remember when you wrote that or feeling that way?
I want to say that was a blog post or an email. I remember writing it. It was a couple months ago when I was still feeling very overwhelmed with motherhood and the idea of taking care of a child, a baby, and somehow also going back to work, but not really going back to work, but somehow making money. I don't know what kind of idealist I was before I had a child, but I was just like, oh, I'm just gonna have a baby and make art. And like, I just thought that was a thing that I could do. And then I had my baby, and I had a very serious health issue in my postpartum recovery that made going back to work or creating art again extremely difficult, because I was just finding it difficult to even become a normal human being again, let alone like a high functioning human being, let alone taking care of another human being. So I didn't really feel like myself again until he was born in October of 2020, and I probably didn't feel like myself again until end of February of this year, maybe. And I just, like I said, I just told myself, you know what? Like, I just need to just take things as they come and be okay with that, because he needs me right now. And everything that I am needs to go to him, because this is of the moment and this is temporary. And this is really important to me, because I always wanted to be an artist, but I also always knew I wanted to be a mom too. Don't know how. Again, can't remember when that was like a thing, but in my head, I was always going to be a mom. So I don't know what it was that made me write that. I think I probably wrote the sentence and rewrote it and edited it like 10 times. But I guess I just wanted to not only say it to whatever audience was reading it, but I needed to write it to say to myself, to tell myself it's okay to not be everything, like to not be fully back into making art all the time like I used to be. So yeah, that's why I wrote it.
Because I remember when I was watching your mum diaries, and I'm not sure, you were probably maybe a couple of months into when your baby had been born. So baby was probably a couple of months old. And you were talking about how hard it was to see others on social media doing all the usual things that artists do, releasing collections and painting murals or whatever it is, and how hard it was to see that when you were, you know, you're in bed at the time when you were recording that mum diary and looking after a newborn baby. And you said something that really struck me. You talked about how we can feel a multitude of things, and you can feel this joy of having a baby, the baby that you'd always wanted. But equally, at the same time, you can feel a loss of a bit of your artist self. And, you know, feeling like you can't do all those things that others are doing. I just thought that's so true. Like, you can feel both of those things at the same time, and that's okay.
Yeah, I will say that the other thing that social media has done for me, other than connect me with, you know, potential clients and fans, is that as a mother, I have really started following some great accounts that have pulled me out of really dark places postpartum. So whether it was a sleep consultant or feeding specialists, or I just follow so many baby and mom accounts now. And they're all so geared towards supporting mentally and emotionally supporting moms that, like, social media is kind of like mini therapy sometimes. Yeah. And also, like, when I posted those mom diaries, I needed to say those things out loud just in case there was somebody else that felt the same way. And so many people did. Because when I had a child, I was just like, this is insane. I like had a baby and I was like, are you kidding me? All the moms in the US are going through this and nobody's talking about it. It just seemed wild to me. So I was like, I have to talk about it. So might as well talk about it on my art Instagram.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you did. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up in this conversation, for the reason that you mentioned, because there will be people listening who are in that phase right now where they have just had a baby, and maybe up to that point they've been, you know, really busy with their art and working on it all the time. And it's a big change to go from that phase of busy and kind of, I don't like to use the word hustle, but you know what I mean, like just getting things going, working really hard, pushing on your art career, and then to having a baby, things shift so much. And I was very grateful to hear you talk about it in such an honest and open way. So I definitely would suggest for people who are listening to definitely go over and look at your Instagram and enjoy your art, but also see the other side of it and how you navigate your days and how you felt during this time as you've become a mother.
I feel much more balanced now because I've kind of got the hang of motherhood as it is currently. because we know that babies are always changing, kids are always changing, motherhood changes. So I also, on the same, on the other side of the coin, I have those mom diaries, but I also know that I have a lot of, I've been doing a lot of work and putting out a lot of content out there, and that might be intimidating to some people. And I just want to say the only reason that I've been able to make any of those murals or do any of this artwork is because I have a mother and a mother-in-law that come 2 weeks every month to take care of my baby, like all day long. And people don't have that. Like, that's not normal. And I'm so grateful for that support, because honestly, I don't know how I would do it without them. It just would not be possible. It just wouldn't be. So I just have to say, in case anyone thinks I'm like super mom over here taking care of my baby and creating artwork, it's not because I've got a 36-hour day or anything like that, like a magic secret. It's because someone else is taking care of my child.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's a good reminder as well that it's okay to ask for help or to use childcare, or, you know, that there are ways that you can come up with different options that allow you to get back into your art when you are ready.
Definitely. Motherhood has definitely taught me how to ask for things that I need, because they're no longer just for me, and it doesn't feel selfish anymore. It's for my baby. So it just feels like more important than my pride at this point.
So you have been quite busy lately. As you mentioned, if you go over onto your Instagram, there's quite a lot of amazing mural work that you've done in the past few months. What has it felt like to get back into making art on a more regular basis and doing these kinds of projects?
You know, having a very limited amount of time has made me trust in my process and embrace my own mark even more so than I was before. So in the past, when I would make artwork or would paint a mural or do anything, I would think and overthink things so much. And now that I don't have very much time because I have to get home to my baby, I just don't do that. Like, it takes me half the amount of time that it used to do anything, because I just don't have a choice. And the work is even better than it was before. So that's kind of ironic. It's made me feel really, really badass, I guess.
Well, it certainly comes across that way. I have to say, when I was looking at your murals and things that you've been doing, I was like, yeah, this is amazing. Like, I don't want to say turn things around, but it's incredible the way things have fallen into place, and you've adapted to motherhood, brought in that support, connected with those different social media sites, and now you are finding some kind of balance, although I think balance is elusive as a mother. But yeah, you can feel the energy, the positive energy. Well, that's what I think.
Thank
anyway.
I don't want to say lucky, but it feels like luck with how things turned out with the pandemic. So I knew I was pregnant. Actually, my husband and I went to Australia for 3 weeks in December of 2019. We left, you know, Christmas Eve. And then we came back middle of January 2020. And we were like, okay, now that we've gone to Australia for a long vacation, I think we might be ready to have a baby. And then I got pregnant less than a month after that. And then less than a month after that, find out there's a pandemic. So I was just in a whirlwind of, oh my God, what am I going to do? What is the world? What is going to happen? I just did not know anything. And what came out of the world was that people were staying at home and really looking at their walls a lot more. They were on social media also. And I'm trying to think about the first home mural I did, but I've done so many now that like I can't remember the first. Oh, I think I do actually. It was a friend of a friend that where the husband was gifting the wife a mural in the dining room of mine that was based off of a public mural that I did in town here in Atlanta. And that was right before the whole pandemic happened. And I painted it. I was pregnant when I painted it. Yeah. But I'm just trying to remember the chain of events. I don't know. It just like more and more people were starting to be interested in it because they were redoing their homes and finding out that wallpaper is very expensive and very difficult to install, but they wanted something unique. Everybody has transitional spaces in their home, whether it's, or not even just transitional spaces. There's also just big walls, and large artwork can cost a lot of money sometimes. And so I was able to fulfill or find a niche where people really liked my mural work and they could see it in their home. You know, because a lot of mural work tends to be very graphic and bold and inspired by street art and graffiti, and people can appreciate that, but they don't necessarily want to live with it in their house. But I was kind of like the in-between for them, like almost like a fine artist, fine art muralist or something. So more and more people just started asking me for what it would take for me to do a home mural. And now I've done, I should probably keep count. Definitely more than 10. Well, definitely more than 10 this year, actually. So yeah, it's becoming my thing now. So hooray.
Well, it's a very beautiful thing. You're an incredible muralist. I love the way that your work just suits so many different kinds of spaces. So I've seen some of your murals in a more kind of funky urban setting, and then I've seen them in very elegant homes. It's just beautiful. It brings a very kind of soft but interesting vibe to a place. And yeah, I'm not surprised at all that they've really taken off, because I hadn't really seen anything quite like it. And then when I was watching you and watching the way you do it and the very intuitive approach that you take with it, I was pretty in awe, I have to say. I was like, whoa. So
That's so nice of you to say.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Amazing to watch you work. It's a real treat, actually, that you do share some of your mural work over on social media, so you get a little glimpse as to how it all comes together.
I guess it's interesting that you say that you've seen it in so many different settings, because you're right, it has been in so many different settings. But I like to think of all the people that have my home murals in their home as like a tribe, that they don't know they're a part of that tribe, but they actually are all birds of a feather. There's something in them that I can't quite pinpoint that makes that person willing to trust me and have me just like come mark up their walls with no plan. They live in all different neighborhoods, more or less. I mean, there are definitely some neighborhoods in Atlanta that have more than others, but it's all over. I guess it's because the work that I make has a lot of dualities in it, you know, bold and soft and intricate details, and it can really shape shift and morph. So different people see different things and like different things. And I've created such a breadth of work, both in paper and in murals, that there's a lot of possibilities for people to connect with it, different kinds of people to connect with it. So I'm pretty lucky that that happened. I say lucky again, but it's not luck. It's me. I did it.
Yeah, exactly. You've worked incredibly hard over a long period of time to get to where you are now. What advice do you have for other artists that are listening who are also trying to reach that point where they can actually say, I'm an artist, this is my main thing?
Other people ask me this question. Sometimes they'll just DM me and ask me those questions. And this one's especially hard because every single person is different. Every artist is different. What works for me doesn't necessarily work for somebody else. So I can only speak to my personal experience. And usually the way I answer that question is to just don't give up and keep going, because that's basically what I had to do. I just had to keep throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticked. And some of it was just circumstance. Like I said, the home murals with the pandemic. Like, I never could have foreseen that, ever. If you had told my 22-year-old self that you're going to be painting people's dining rooms and people's stairwells, and they're going to pay you thousands of dollars to do that, I would be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Goodbye. But you can't limit yourself to one way of becoming an artist. So yeah, just keep trying, just keep going, just keep making work.
I love that phrase. You can't limit yourself to one way of being an artist. So good. So good. So I just want to finish by asking you, what does success mean for you now as an artist? And has this changed since you became a mother?
It's a really good question. I think before I became a mother, success was all about external things, meaning I wanted people to know my name. I wanted to be social media famous. I wanted to sell out collections when I post them. I wanted to collaborate with big brands. I wanted to be the capital A artist of Atlanta. That sounds so egotistical, but I mean, if any artist says that is not something that they've thought of, then they're probably lying. But yeah, it was just all about that kind of image of myself as the ultimate person or artist to look up to. I wanted to be I think I already explained it well enough, but
yeah, I'm nodding my head and I agree with you. I agree that we have these ideas as artists about what we want to be.
Yeah, like a rock star, like the rock star artist, basically. And since motherhood, I think my new definition of success is much more focused on the internal. I want to feel like I can look at the work that I've made, any work that I've made over the last 5 years, and still think that it is good, five years falling. And I also want to feel rested. I don't know why success feels like rest, but to me, I just want to feel like I can make work, but also relax. Being able to relax is what I need to be a good mom. So if I can be a good mom, that's success for me while being an artist. I don't know if that was the right way to describe it.
It was. You shouldn't second guess yourself, because the way that you describe things, oh my goodness, like I listen and I'm like, yes, yeah, that's what I want to. I just want to say a huge thank you. I have enjoyed every bit of this conversation. You are an amazing artist, and I'm really thrilled to be able to share this conversation with so many people, and I know they're going to love it too.
Yeah, that's so sweet of you to say. This makes me feel so nice inside. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Christina. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. I've actually listened to it several times. I loved it so much. If you haven't already, don't forget to check out Christina's work over at christinakwanart.com, or you can find Christina on Instagram at christina.kwan.art. And don't forget to tag Christina and me at Laura Horn Art in your Instagram stories. We are so grateful for your help in spreading the word. Next week, we'll be hearing from mixed media artist and lover of nature, Helen Hallows. I hope that you'll tune in for that one and that you enjoyed this week's episode.